challenging, like racing his car, competing in a contest, or climbing a mountain. When a Venusian becomes upset or stressed by her day, to find relief, she seeks out someone she trusts and then talks in great detail about the problems of her day. When Venusians share feelings of being overwhelmed, they suddenly feel better. This is the Venusian way. On Venus, sharing your problems with another actually is considered a sign of love and trust and not a burden. Venusians are not ashamed of having problems. Their egos are not so dependent on looking competent, but rather on being in loving relationships. They openly share feelings of being overwhelmed, confused, hopeless, and exhausted. A Venusian feels good about herself when she has loving friends with whom to share her feelings and problems. A Martian feels good when he can solve problems on his own in his cave. These secrets of feeling good are still applicable today. Finding relief in the cave. When a man is stressed, he'll withdraw into the cave of his mind and focus on solving a problem. He generally picks the most urgent problem or the most difficult. He becomes so focused on solving this one problem that he temporarily loses awareness of everything else. Other problems and responsibilities fade into the background. At such times, he becomes increasingly distant, forgetful, unresponsive, and preoccupied in his relationships. For example, when having a conversation with him at home, it seems as if only 5% of his mind is available for the relationship, while the other 95% is still at work. His full awareness is not present because he's mulling over his problem, hoping to find a solution. The more stressed he is, the more gripped by the problem he'll be. At such times, he's incapable of giving a woman the attention and feeling that she normally receives and certainly deserves. His mind is preoccupied, and he is powerless to release it. If, however, he can find a solution, instantly he'll feel much better and come out of his cave. Suddenly, he's available for being in a relationship again. However, if he can't find a solution to his problem, then he remains stuck in his cave. To get unstuck, he's then drawn to solving little problems, like reading the news, watching TV, driving his car, doing physical exercise, watching a football game, playing basketball, and so forth. Any challenging activity that initially requires only 5% of his mind can assist him in forgetting his problems and becoming unstuck. Then the next day, he can redirect his focus to his problem with greater success. Let's explore in greater detail a few examples. Jim commonly uses reading the newspaper to forget his problems. When he reads the paper, he's no longer being confronted with the problems of his day. With the 5% of his mind that's not focused on his work problems, he begins forming opinions and finding solutions for the world's problems. Gradually, his mind becomes increasingly involved with the problems in the news, and he forgets his own. In this way, he makes the transition from being focused on his problems at work to focusing on the many problems of the world for which he's not directly responsible. This process releases his mind from the gripping problems at work so he can focus on his wife and family again. Tom watches a football game to release his stress and unwind. He releases his mind from trying to solve his own problems by solving the problems of his favorite team. Through watching sports, he can vicariously feel he's solved a problem with each play. When his team scores points or wins, he enjoys the feeling of success. If his team loses, he suffers their loss as his own. In either case, however, his mind is released from the grip of his real problems. For Tom and many men, the inevitable release of tension that occurs at the completion of any sporting event, news event, or movie provides a release from the tension he feels in his life. How women react to the cave. When a man is stuck in his cave, he is powerless to give his partner the quality attention she deserves. It's hard for her to be accepting of him at those times because she doesn't know how stressed he is. If he were to come home and talk about all his problems, then she could be more compassionate. Instead, he doesn't talk about his problems, and she feels he's ignoring her. She can tell he's upset, but mistakenly assumes he doesn't care about her because he isn't talking to her. Women generally don't understand how Martians cope with stress. They expect men to open up and talk about all their problems the way Venusians do. When a man is stuck in his cave, a woman resents his not being more open. She feels hurt when he turns on the news or goes outside to play some basketball and ignores her. To expect a man who's in his cave instantly to become open, responsive, and loving is as unrealistic as expecting a woman who's upset immediately to calm down and make complete sense. It's a mistake to expect a man to always be in touch with his loving feelings, just as it's a mistake to expect a woman's feelings to always be linear and logical. When Martians go to their caves, they tend to forget that their friends may be having problems too. An instinct takes over that says, before you can take care of anybody else, you must first take care of yourself. When a woman sees a man react in this way, she generally resists it and resents the man. Then she might ask for his support in a demanding tone, as if she has to fight for her rights with this uncaring man. By remembering that men are from Mars, a woman can correctly interpret his reaction to stress as his coping mechanism, rather than as an expression of how he feels about her. She can begin to cooperate with him to get what she needs instead of resisting him. On the other side, men generally have little awareness of how distant they become when they're in the cave. As a man recognizes how withdrawing into his cave may affect women, he can be more compassionate when she feels neglected and unimportant. Remembering that women are from Venus helps him to be more understanding and respectful of her reactions and feelings. Without understanding the validity of her reactions, a man commonly defends himself and they argue. These are 5 common misunderstandings. 1. When she says, "You don't listen," he says, "What do you mean I don't listen? I can tell you everything you just said." When a man is in the cave, he can record what she's saying with that 5% of the mind that's listening. A man reasons that if he's listening with 5%, then he's listening. However, what she's asking for is his full, undivided attention. 2. When she says, "I feel like you're not even here," he says, "What do you mean I'm not here? Of course I'm here. Don't you see my body?" He reasons that if his body is present, then she shouldn't say he's not there. However, though his body is present, she doesn't feel his full presence, and that's what she means. 3. When she says, "You don't care about me," he says, "Of course I care about you. Why do you think I'm trying so hard to solve this problem?" He reasons that because he's preoccupied with solving a problem that will in some way benefit her, she should know that he cares for her. However, she needs to feel his direct attention and caring, and that's what she's really asking for. 4. When she says, "I feel like I'm not important to you," he says, "That's ridiculous. Of course you're important." He reasons that her feelings are invalid because he's solving problems to benefit her. He doesn't realize that when he focuses on one problem and ignores the problems that she's bothered by, that almost any woman would have the same reaction and take it personally and feel unimportant. 5. When she says, "You have no feelings, you're in your head," he says, "What's wrong with that? How else do you expect me to solve this problem?" He reasons that she's being too critical and demanding because he's doing something that's essential for him to solve problems. He feels unappreciated. In addition, he doesn't recognize the validity of her feelings. Men generally don't realize how extremely and quickly they may shift from being warm and feeling to being unresponsive and distant. In his cave, a man is preoccupied with solving his problem and is unaware of how his indifferent attitude might feel to others. To increase cooperation, both men and women need to understand each other better. When a man begins to ignore his wife, she often takes it personally. Knowing that he's coping with stress in his own way is extremely helpful, but does not always help her alleviate the pain. At such times, she may feel the need to talk about these feelings. This is when it's important for a man to validate her feelings. He needs to understand that she has a right to talk about her feelings of being ignored and unsupported, just as he has a right to withdraw into his cave and not talk. If she doesn't feel understood, then it's difficult for her to release her hurt. Finding relief through talking. When a woman is stressed, she instinctively feels a need to talk about her feelings and all the possible problems that are associated with her feelings. When she begins talking, she doesn't prioritize the significance of any problem. If she's upset, then she's upset about it all, big and small. She's not immediately concerned with finding solutions to her problems, but rather seeks relief by expressing herself and being understood. By randomly talking about her problems, she becomes less upset. Just as a man under stress tends to focus on one problem and forget others, a woman under stress tends to expand and become overwhelmed by all problems. By talking about all possible problems without focusing on problem solving, she feels better. Through exploring her feelings in this process, she gains a greater awareness of what's really bothering her, and then suddenly, she's no longer so overwhelmed. To feel better, women talk about past problems, future problems, potential problems, even problems that have no solutions. The more talk and exploration, the better they feel. This is the way women operate. To expect otherwise is to deny a woman her sense of self. When a woman is overwhelmed, she finds relief through talking in great detail about her various problems. Gradually, if she feels she's being heard, her stress disappears. After talking about one topic, she'll pause and then move on to the next. In this way, she continues to expand talking about problems, worries, disappointments, and frustrations. These topics need not be in any order and tend to be logically unrelated. If she feels she's not being understood, her awareness may expand even further, and she may become upset about more problems. Just as a man who's stuck in his cave needs little problems to distract him, a woman who doesn't feel heard will need to talk about other problems that are less immediate to find relief. To forget her own painful feelings, she may become emotionally involved in the problems of others. In addition, she may find relief through the problems of her friends, relatives, and associates. Whether she's talking about her problems or her friends' problems, talking is a natural and healthy Venusian reaction to stress. How men react when women need to talk. When women talk about problems, men usually resist. A man assumes she's talking with him about her problems because she's holding him responsible. The more problems, the more he feels blamed. He doesn't realize that she's talking to feel better. A man doesn't know that she'll really appreciate it if he just listens. Martians talk about problems for only two reasons. They're blaming someone or they're seeking advice. If a woman is really upset, a man assumes she's blaming him. If she seems a little less upset, then he assumes she's asking for advice. If he assumes she's asking for advice, then he puts on his Mr. Fix-It hat to solve her problems. If he assumes she's blaming him, then he draws his sword to protect himself from attack. In both cases, he soon finds it difficult to listen. If he offers solutions to her problems, she just continues talking about more problems. After offering two or three solutions, he expects her to feel better. This is because Martians themselves feel better with solutions, as long as they've asked for a solution to be offered. When she doesn't feel better, he feels his solutions have been rejected, and he feels unappreciated. On the other hand, if he feels attacked, then he begins to defend himself. He thinks if he explains himself that she'll stop blaming him, The more he defends himself, however, the more upset she becomes. He doesn't realize that explanations are not what she needs. She needs him to understand her feelings and let her move on to talk about more problems. If he's wise and just listens, then a few minutes after she's complaining about him, she'll change the subject and talk about other problems as well. Men also become particularly frustrated when a woman talks about problems that he can't do anything about. For example, when a woman is stressed, she could complain, "I'm not getting paid enough at work. My Aunt Louise is getting sicker and sicker each year she gets sicker. Our house just isn't big enough. This is such a dry season. When is it going to rain? We're overdrawn in our bank account again." A woman might make any of the previous comments as a way of expressing her worries, disappointments, and frustrations. She may know that nothing more can be done to solve these problems, but to find relief, she still needs to talk about them. She feels supported if the listener relates to her frustration and disappointment. She may, however, frustrate her male partner unless he understands that she just needs to talk about it, and then she'll feel better. On Mars, if a problem can't be solved, then we just want to forget it. On Venus, if a problem can't be solved, their feeling is, then at least we can talk about it. Men also become impatient when women talk about problems in great detail. A man mistakenly assumes that when a woman talks in great detail, that all the details are necessary for him to find a solution to her problem. He struggles to find their relevance and becomes impatient. Again, he doesn't realize that she's not looking for a solution. Instead, she's looking for his caring and understanding. In addition, listening is difficult for a man because he mistakenly assumes there's a logical order when she randomly changes from one problem to another. After she shared three or four problems, he becomes extremely frustrated and confused trying to logically relate these problems together. Another reason a man may resist listening is that he's looking for the bottom line. He can't begin formulating his solution until he knows the outcome. The more details she gives, the more he's frustrated while listening. His frustration is lessened if he can remember that she is greatly benefiting by talking about the details. If he can remember that talking in detail is helping her to feel good, then he can relax. Just as a man is fulfilled through working out the intricate details of solving a problem, a woman is fulfilled through talking about the details of her problems. Something a woman can do to make it easier for a man to listen is to let him know in advance the outcome of the story and then go back and give the details. Avoid keeping him in suspense. Women commonly enjoy letting the suspense build because it brings more feeling into the story. Another woman appreciates this buildup, but a man can be easily frustrated. The degree to which a man does not understand a woman is the degree to which he will resist her when she's talking about problems. As a man learns more how to fulfill a woman and provide her emotional support, he discovers that listening is not so difficult. More important, if a woman can remind a man that she just wants to talk about her problems and that he doesn't have to solve any of them, it can help him relax and listen. How the Martians and Venusians found peace. The Martians and Venusians lived together in peace because they were able to respect their differences. The Martians learned to respect that Venusians needed to talk to feel better. Even if he didn't have much to say, he learned that by listening, he could be very supportive. The Venusians learned to respect that Martians needed to withdraw to cope with stress. The cave was no longer a great mystery or cause for alarm. What the Martians learned. The Martians realized that even when they felt they were being attacked, blamed, or criticized by the Venusians, it was only temporary. Soon the Venusians would suddenly feel better and be very appreciative and accepting. By learning to listen, the Martians discovered how much the Venusians really thrived on talking about problems. each Martian found peace of mind when he finally understood that a Venusian's need to talk about her problems was not because he was failing her in some way. In addition, he learned that once a Venusian feels heard, she stops dwelling on her problems and becomes very positive. With this awareness, a Martian was able to listen without feeling responsible for solving all her problems. Many men and even women are very judgmental of the need to talk about problems because they've never experienced how healing it can be. They've not seen how a woman who feels heard suddenly can change, feel better, and sustain a positive attitude. Generally, they've seen how a woman, probably their mother, who didn't feel heard, continued to dwell on her problems. This happens to women when they don't feel loved or heard over an extended period of time. The real problem, however, is that she feels unloved, not that she's talking about problems. After the Martians learned to listen, they made a most amazing discovery. They began to realize that listening to a Venusian talk about problems could actually help them come out of their caves in the same way as watching the news on TV or reading a newspaper. In a similar way, as men learn to listen without feeling blamed or responsible, listening becomes much easier. As a man gets good at listening, he realizes that listening can be an excellent way to forget the problems of his day, as well as bring a lot of fulfillment to his partner. But on days when he's really stressed, he may still need to be in his cave and slowly come out by some other distraction, like the news or a competitive sport. This difference in the way men and women cope with stress can create a lot of frustration, but with a greater understanding of the difference, we can see that we actually mutually support each other. For example, a man might come home and want to watch TV to forget the problems of his day, yet he'll fall in love and marry a woman who wants to come home and be a newscaster and tell the news of her day. If he can just simply learn to listen to her without feeling responsible to solve her problems, then her problems can help him forget the problems of his day. He feels better, and she certainly feels better as well. What the Venusians learned. The Venusians also found peace of mind when they finally understood that a Martian going to his cave was not a sign that he didn't love her as much. They learned to be more accepting of him at those times because he was experiencing a lot of stress. The Venusians were not offended when Martians were easily distracted. When a Venusian talked and a Martian became distracted, she would very politely stop talking, stand there, and wait for him to notice. Then she would begin talking again. She understood that sometimes it was hard for him to give his full attention. The Venusians discovered that by asking for the Martian's full attention in a relaxed and accepting manner, the Martians were happy to redirect their attention. When the Martians were completely preoccupied and in their caves, the Venusians also didn't take it personally. They learned that this was not the time to have intimate conversations, but a time to talk about problems with their friends, or have fun, do something they like doing, go shopping. With this greater acceptance of a Martian going to his cave, the Venusians discovered that the Martians would more quickly come out of their caves. Chapter 4, How to Motivate the Opposite Sex. Centuries before the Martians and Venusians got together, they'd been quite happy living in their separate worlds. Then one day everything changed. The Martians and Venusians on their respective planets suddenly became depressed. It was this depression, however, that motivated them eventually to come together. Understanding the secrets of their transformation helps us today to recognize how men and women are motivated in different ways. With this new awareness, you'll be better equipped to support your partner, as well as get the support you need at difficult and stressful times. Let's go back in time and pretend to witness what happened. When the Martians became depressed, everyone on the planet left the cities and went to their caves for a long time. They were stuck and couldn't come out, until one day when a Martian happened to glimpse the beautiful Venusians through his telescope. As he quickly shared his telescope, the sight of these beautiful beings inspired the Martians, and their depression miraculously lifted. Suddenly, they felt needed. They came out of their caves and began building a fleet of spaceships to fly to Venus. On the other planet, when the Venusians became depressed, to feel better, they formed circles and began talking with one another about their problems. But this didn't seem to relieve the depression. They stayed depressed for a long time until, through their intuition, they experienced a vision, a hope. Strong and wondrous beings, the Martians, would be coming across the universe to love, serve, and support them. Suddenly, they felt cherished. As they shared their vision, their depression lifted, and they happily began preparing for the arrival of the Martians. These secrets of motivation still apply to men and women. Men are motivated and empowered when they feel needed. When a man does not feel needed in a relationship, he gradually becomes passive and less energized. With each passing day, he has a little less to give to the relationship. On the other hand, when he feels trusted to do his best to fulfill her needs, and he feels appreciated for his efforts, then he's empowered and he has more to give. Like the Venusians, women are motivated and empowered when they feel cherished. When a woman doesn't feel cherished in a relationship, she gradually becomes overly responsible and exhausted from giving too much. On the other hand, when she feels cared for and respected, she's fulfilled and has more to give as well. When a man loves a woman, a man falling in love with a woman is similar to what took place when the first Martian discovered the Venusians. Stuck in his cave and unable to find the source of his depression, he was searching the sky with his telescope. As if he had been struck by lightning, in one glorious moment his life was permanently changed. He had glimpsed through his telescope a vision he described as awesome beauty and grace. He had discovered the Venusians. His body lit on fire. As he watched the Venusians for the first time in his life, he began to care about someone other than himself. From just one glimpse, his life had new meaning. His depression lifted. Martians have a win-lose philosophy. I want to win, and I don't care if you lose. As long as each Martian took care of himself, this formula worked fine. It worked for centuries, but now it needed to be changed. Giving primarily to themselves was no longer satisfying. Being in love, they wanted the Venusians to win as much as themselves. In most sports today, we can see an extension of this Martian competitive code. For example, in tennis, I not only want to win, but I also want to make my friend lose by making it difficult for him to return my shots. I enjoy winning, even though my friend loses. Most of these Martian attitudes have a place in life, but this win-lose attitude becomes harmful in our adult relationships. If I seek to fulfill my own needs at the expense of my partner, we're sure to experience unhappiness, resentment, and conflict. The secret of forming a successful relationship is for both partners to win. Differences attract. After the first Martian fell in love, he began manufacturing telescopes for all his brother Martians. Very quickly, they all came out of their depressions. They too began to feel love for the Venusians. They started to care about the Venusians as much as themselves. The strange and beautiful Venusians were a mysterious attraction to the Martians. Their differences especially attracted the Martians. Where the Martians were hard, the Venusians were soft. Where the Martians were angular, the Venusians were round. Where the Martians were cool, the Venusians were warm. In a magical and perfect way, their differences seemed to complement each other. In an unspoken language, the Venusians communicated loud and clear, "We need you. Your power and strength can bring us great fulfillment, filling a void deep within our being. Together, we could live in great happiness." This invitation motivated and empowered the Martians. Many women instinctively understand how to give this message. In the beginning of a relationship, a woman gives a man a brief look that says, "You could be the one to make me happy." In this subtle way, she actually initiates their relationship. This look encourages him to come closer. It empowers him to overcome his fears of having a relationship or being rejected. Unfortunately, once they're in a relationship, and as the problems begin to emerge, she doesn't know how important that message still is to him and neglects to send it. The Martians were very motivated by the possibility of making a difference on Venus. The Martian race was moving into a new level of evolution. They were no longer satisfied by just proving themselves and developing their power. They wanted to use their power and skills in the service of others, especially in the service of the Venusians. They were beginning to develop a new philosophy, a win-win philosophy. They wanted a world where everyone cared for themselves as well as for others. Love motivates Martians. The Martians began building a fleet of spaceships that would carry them across the heavens to Venus. They had never felt so alive. Through glimpsing the Venusians, they were beginning to have unselfish feelings for the first time in their history. In a similar way, when a man is in love, he is motivated to be the best he can be in order to serve others. When his heart is open, he feels so confident in himself that he's capable of making major changes. Given the opportunity to prove his potential, he expresses his best self. Only when he feels he cannot succeed does he regress back to his old selfish ways. When a man is in love, he begins to care about another as much as himself. He is suddenly released from the binding chains of being motivated for himself alone and becomes free to give to another, not for personal gain, but out of caring. He experiences his partner's fulfillment as if it were his own. He can easily endure any hardship to make her happy because her happiness makes him happy. His struggles become easier. He is energized with a higher purpose. In his youth, he can be satisfied by serving himself alone. But as he matures, self-gratification is no longer as satisfying. To experience fulfillment, he must begin to live his life motivated by love. Being inspired to give in such a free and selfless way liberates him from the inertia of self-gratification devoid of caring for others. Although he still needs to receive love, his greatest need is to give love. Most men are not only hungry to give love, but are starving for it. Their biggest problem is that they don't know what they're missing. They rarely saw their fathers succeed in fulfilling their mothers through giving. As a result, they do not know that a major source of fulfillment for a man can come through giving. When his relationships fail, he finds himself depressed and stuck in his cave. He stops caring and doesn't know why he's so depressed. At such times, he withdraws from relationships or intimacy and remains stuck in his cave. He asks himself, "What is it all for? Why should I bother?" He doesn't know that he's stopped caring because he doesn't feel needed. He doesn't realize that by finding someone who needs him, he can shake off his depression and be motivated again. When a man doesn't feel he's making a positive difference in someone else's life, it's hard for him to continue caring about his life and relationships. It's difficult to be motivated when he's not needed. To become motivated again, he needs to feel appreciated, trusted, accepted. Not to be needed is a slow death for a man. When a woman loves a man, a woman falling in love with a man is similar to what took place when the first Venusian believed that the Martians were coming. She dreamed that a fleet of spaceships from the heavens would land and a race of strong and caring Martians would emerge. These beings would not need nurturing, but instead wanted to provide for and take care of the Venusians. These Martians were very devoted and were inspired by the Venusian beauty and culture. The Martians recognized that their power and competence were meaningless without someone to serve. these wondrous and admirable beings had found relief and inspiration in the promise of serving, pleasing, and fulfilling the Venusians. What a miracle! Other Venusians had similar dreams and instantly came out of their depressions. The realization that transformed the Venusians, took them out of their depression, was the belief that help was on the way because the Martians were coming. The Venusians had been depressed because they felt isolated and alone. To come out of depression, they needed to feel that loving help was on the way. Most men have little awareness of how important it is to a woman to feel supported by someone who cares. Women are happy when they believe their needs will be met. When a woman is upset, overwhelmed, confused, exhausted, or hopeless, what she needs most is simple companionship. She needs to feel she's not alone. She needs to feel loved and cherished. Empathy, understanding, validation, and compassion go a long way to assist her in becoming more receptive and appreciative of his support. Men don't realize this because their Martian instincts tell them it's best to be alone when you're upset. When she's upset, out of respect, he'll leave her alone. Or if he stays, he makes matters worse by trying to solve her problems. He doesn't instinctively realize how very important closeness, intimacy, and sharing are to her. What she needs most is just someone to listen, someone who cares. Through sharing her feelings, she begins to remember that she is worthy of love and that her needs will be fulfilled. Doubt and mistrust melt away. Her tendency to give too much relaxes as she remembers that she is worthy of love. She doesn't have to earn it. She can relax, give less, and receive more. She deserves it. Too much giving is tiring. To deal with their depression, the Venusians were busy sharing their feelings and talking about their problems. As they talked, they discovered the cause of their depression. They were tired of giving so much all the time. They resented always feeling responsible for one another. They wanted to relax and just be taken care of for a while. They were tired of sharing everything with others. They wanted to be special and possess things that were their own. No longer were they satisfied being martyrs and living for others. On Venus, they live by a lose-win philosophy. I lose so that you can win. As long as everyone made sacrifices for others, then everyone was taken care of. But after doing this for centuries, the Venusians were tired of always caring about one another and sharing everything. They also were ready for a win-win philosophy. In a similar way, many women today are also tired of giving. They want time off, time to explore being themselves, time to care about themselves first. They want someone to provide emotional support, someone they don't have to take care of. The Martians fit the bill perfectly. At this point, the Martians were learning to give while the Venusians were now ready to learn to receive. After centuries, the Venusians and Martians had reached an important stage in their evolution. The Venusians needed to learn how to receive while the Martians needed to learn how to give. This same change commonly takes place in men and women as they mature. In her younger years, a woman is much more willing to sacrifice and mold herself to fulfill her partner's needs. In a man's younger years, he's much more self-absorbed and unaware of the needs of others. As a woman matures, she realizes how she may have been giving up herself in order to please her partner. As a man matures, he realizes how he can better serve and respect others. Giving up blame. When a woman realizes that she's been giving too much, she tends to blame her partner for her unhappiness. She feels the injustice of giving more than she's received. Although in many cases she's not received what she deserved, to improve her relationships, she needs to recognize how she contributed to the problem. When a woman gives too much, it's not correct for her to blame her partner. In a similar way, a man who gives less should not blame his partner for being negative and unreceptive to him. In both cases, blaming does not work. Understanding, trust, compassion, acceptance, and support are the solution, not blaming our partners. When this situation occurs, instead of blaming his female partner for being resentful, a man can be compassionate and offer his support, even if she doesn't ask for it. Listen to her, even if it sounds like blame, and help her to trust and open up to him by doing little things for her to show that he cares. Instead of blaming a man for giving less, a woman can accept and forgive her partner's imperfections, especially when he disappoints her. Trust that he wants to give more when he doesn't offer his support, and encourage him to give more by appreciating what he does give, and continue to ask for his support. Setting and respecting limits. Most important, however, a woman needs to recognize her boundaries of what she can give without resenting her partner. Instead of expecting her partner to even the score, she needs to keep it even by regulating how much she gives. It's not fair to blame him when she gives too much. Let's look at an example. Jim was 39 and his wife Susan was 41 when they came for counseling. Susan wanted a divorce. She complained that she had been giving more than he had for 12 years and could not take it anymore. She blamed Jim for being lethargic, selfish, controlling, and unromantic. She said she had nothing left to give and was ready to leave. He convinced her to come to therapy, but she was doubtful. In a 6-month period, they were able to move through the 3 steps to healing a relationship. Today, they're happily married with 3 children. Step 1, motivation. I explained to Jim that his wife was experiencing 12 years of accumulated resentment. If he wanted to save this marriage, he would have to do a lot of listening for her to be motivated to work on their marriage. For the first 6 sessions together, I encouraged Susan to share her feelings and help Jim patiently to understand her negative feelings. This was the hardest part of their healing process. As he began to really hear her pain and unfulfilled needs, he became increasingly motivated and confident that he could make the changes necessary to have a loving relationship. Before Susan could be motivated to work on the relationship, she needed to be heard and feel that Jim validated her feelings. This was the first step. After Susan felt understood, they were able to proceed to the next step. Step 2, responsibility. The second step was taking responsibility. Jim needed to take responsibility for not supporting his wife, while Susan needed to take responsibility for not setting boundaries. Jim apologized for the way he had hurt her. Susan realized that just as he had stepped over her boundaries by treating her in disrespectful ways, such as yelling, grumbling, resisting requests, and invalidating feelings, she had not set her boundaries. Although she did not need to apologize, she did acknowledge some responsibility for their problems. As she gradually accepted that her inability to set limits and her tendency to give more had contributed to their problems, she was able to be more forgiving. Taking responsibility for her problem was essential to releasing her resentment. In this way, they both were motivated to learn new ways of supporting each other through respecting limits. Step 3, practice. Jim particularly needed to learn how to respect her boundaries, while Susan needed to learn how to set them. Both of them needed to learn how to express honest feelings in a respectful way. They agreed in this third step to practice setting and respecting limits, knowing that at times they would make mistakes. Being able to make mistakes gave them a safety net while they both practiced. Here are some examples of what they learned and practiced. Susan practiced saying, "I don't like the way you're talking. Please stop yelling or I'll leave the room." After leaving the room a few times, she didn't need to do it anymore. This is an example of setting limits. When Jim would make requests that she would later resent doing, she practiced saying, "No, I need to relax," or, "No, I'm too busy today." She discovered that he was more attentive to her, because he understood how busy or tired she was. Susan told Jim that she wanted to go on a vacation, and when he said that he was too busy, she said that she would go alone. Suddenly, he shifted his schedule and wanted to go. When they talked and Jim interrupted, she practiced saying, "I'm not finished. Please hear me out." Suddenly, he started listening more and interrupting less. Susan's most difficult task was to practice asking for what she wanted. She said to me, "Why should I have to ask, after all I've done for him?" I explained that making him responsible for knowing her wants was not only unrealistic, but a big part of her problem. She needed to be responsible for getting her needs fulfilled. Jim's most difficult challenge was to be respectful of her changes and not expect her to be the same accommodating partner he originally married. He recognized that it was as difficult for her to set limits as it was for him to adjust to them. He understood that over time they would become more graceful as they had more practice. As a man experiences limits, gradually he's motivated to give more. Sometimes when he first experiences a limit, he needs to first grumble and say, "Is this fair? Why should I have to do this? Look what I've done." Well, then he starts to think, "Well, look what she's done. Well, she has a right to her needs. Well, the truth is, I want to give her what she needs. Okay, I'll respect that limit." So it's a gradual process of grumbling for a man, but when a woman is strong and sets her limits in a loving way, he will respond and he'll have more energy to give. Through respecting limits, he automatically is motivated to question the effectiveness of his behavior patterns and to start making changes. When a woman realizes that in order to receive, she needs to set limits, then automatically she begins to forgive her partner and explore new ways of asking for and receiving support. When a woman sets limits, she gradually learns to relax and receive more. Learning to receive. Setting limits and receiving are very scary to a woman. She's commonly afraid of needing too much and then being rejected, judged, or abandoned. Rejection, judgment, and abandonment are most painful because deep inside her unconscious, she holds the incorrect belief that she is unworthy of receiving more. This belief was formed and reinforced in childhood every time she had to suppress her feelings, needs, or wishes. A woman is particularly vulnerable to the negative and incorrect belief that she doesn't deserve to be loved. If as a child she witnessed abuse or was directly abused, then she's even more vulnerable to feeling unworthy of love. It's harder for her to determine her worth. Hidden in the unconscious, this feeling of unworthiness generates the fear of needing others. A part of her imagines that she will not be supported. Because she's afraid of not being supported, she unknowingly pushes away the support she needs. When a man receives the message that she doesn't trust him to fulfill her needs, then he feels immediately rejected and is turned off. Her hopelessness and mistrust transform her valid needs into desperate expressions of neediness and communicate to him the message that she doesn't trust him to support her. Ironically, men are primarily motivated by being needed, but are turned off by neediness. At such times, a woman mistakenly assumes that having needs has turned him off, when in truth, it is her hopelessness, desperation, and mistrust that have done so. Without recognizing that men need to be trusted, it's difficult and confusing for women to understand the difference between needing and neediness. Needing is openly reaching out and asking for support from a man in a trusting manner that assumes that he will do his best. This empowers him. Neediness, however, is desperately needing support because you don't trust that you'll get it. It pushes men away and makes them feel rejected and unappreciated. For women, not only is needing others confusing, but being disappointed or abandoned is especially painful, even in the smallest ways. It's not easy for her to depend on others and then be ignored, forgotten, or dismissed. Needing others puts her in a vulnerable position. Being ignored or disappointed hurts more because it affirms the incorrect belief that she is unworthy. How the Venusians learned to feel worthy. For centuries, the Venusians compensated for this fundamental fear of unworthiness by being attentive and responsive to the needs of others. They would give and give, but deep inside, they didn't feel worthy of receiving. They hoped that by giving, they would become more worthy. After centuries of giving, they finally realized that they were worthy of receiving love and support. Then they looked back and realized that they had always been worthy of support. This process of giving to others prepared them for the wisdom of self-esteem. Through giving to others, they came to see that others truly were worthy of receiving, and thus they began to see that everyone deserved to be loved. Then finally they saw that they too deserve to receive. Here on earth, when a little girl experiences her mother receiving love, then automatically she feels worthy. She's able to easily overcome the Venusian tendency to give too much. She doesn't have to overcome a fear of receiving because she identifies so closely with her mother. If her mother has learned this wisdom, then the child automatically learns it through observing and feeling her mother. If the mother is open to receive, then the child learns how to receive. The Venusians, however, did not have role models, so it took them thousands of years to give up their tendency to overgive. Through gradually seeing that others were worthy of receiving, they realized that they also were worthy of receiving. At that magical moment, the Martians also went through a transformation and began building spaceships. When the Venusian is ready, the Martian will appear. When a woman realizes that she truly deserves to be loved, she's opening the door for a man to give to her. But when it takes her 10 years of overgiving in a marriage to realize that she deserves more, ironically, she feels like closing the door and not giving him the chance. She may feel something like this: I've given to you and you've ignored me. You had your chance. I deserve better. I can't trust you. I'm too tired. I have nothing left to give. I'll not let you hurt me again. Repeatedly, when this is the case, I've assured women that they don't have to give more to have a better relationship. Their partner actually will give them more if they give less. When a man has been ignoring her needs, it's as though they both have been asleep. When she wakes up and remembers her needs, he also wakes up and wants to give her more. Predictably, her partner will wake up from his passive state and truly make many of the changes she requires. When she's no longer giving too much, because she's feeling worthy inside herself, he comes out of his cave and starts building spaceships to come and make her happy. It may take him a while actually to learn to give her more, but the most important step is taken. He's aware that he has neglected her, and he wants to change. It also works the other way around. Usually, when a man realizes that he's unhappy and wants more romance and love in his life, his wife will suddenly begin to open up and love him again. The walls of resentment begin to melt and love comes back to life. If there's been a lot of neglect, it may take a while truly to heal all the accumulated resentments, but it is possible. Quite often when one partner makes a positive change, the other will also change. This predictable coincidence is one of those magical things about life. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the question is asked, then the answer is heard. When we are truly ready to receive, then what we need will become available. When the Venusians were ready to receive, the Martians were ready to give. Learning to give. A man's deepest fear is that he's not good enough, or that he's incompetent. He compensates for this fear by focusing on increasing his power and competence. Success, achievement, and efficiency are foremost in his life. Before they discovered the Venusians, the Martians were so concerned with these qualities that they didn't care about anything or anybody else. A man often appears most uncaring when he's afraid. Just as women are afraid of receiving, often men are afraid of giving or afraid of failing in the act of giving. To extend himself in giving to others means to risk failure, correction, and disapproval. These consequences are most painful because deep inside his unconscious, he holds an incorrect belief that he's not good enough. This belief was formed and reinforced in childhood every time he thought he was expected to do better. When his accomplishments went unnoticed or were unappreciated, deep in his unconscious, he began forming the incorrect belief that he was not good enough. A man is particularly vulnerable to this incorrect belief. It generates within him the fear of failing. He wants to give, but he's afraid he'll fail, so he doesn't try. If his biggest fear is inadequacy, he's naturally going to avoid unnecessary risks. It's no wonder that on Mars they believe, "Don't fix it unless it's broken." Why would he try something new when he has a tried and tested formula? Ironically, when a man really cares a lot, his fear of failure increases, and then he gives less. This means that to avoid failure, he'll stop giving to the people he wants to give to the most. Sometimes when a man's feeling insecure, he may compensate by not caring about anybody except himself. His most automatic defensive response is to say, "I don't care." For this reason, the Martians didn't allow themselves to feel or care too much for others. By becoming successful and powerful, they finally realized that they were good enough and that they could succeed in giving. They then discovered the Venusians. Although they had always been good enough, the process of proving their power prepared them for the wisdom of self-esteem. Through becoming successful and then looking back, they realized that their every failure was necessary to achieve their later successes. Every mistake had taught them a very important lesson necessary to achieve their goals. Thus, they realized they had always been good enough. It's okay to make mistakes. The first step for a man in learning how to give more is to realize that it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to fail, and that he doesn't have to have all the answers. I remember the story of a woman who complained that her partner would never make a commitment to marriage. To her, it seemed that he didn't care as much as she did. One day, however, she happened to say that she was so happy being with him, even if they were poor, she'd want to be with him. The next day, he proposed. He just needed the acceptance and encouragement that he was good enough for her, and then he could feel how much he cared. Martians need love too. Just as women are sensitive to feeling rejected when they don't get the attention they need, men are sensitive to feeling that they failed when a woman talks about problems. This is why it's so hard for him to listen sometimes. He wants to be her hero. When she is disappointed or unhappy over anything, he feels like a failure. Her unhappiness conveys the message he's just not good enough. Many women today don't realize how vulnerable men are and how much they need love too. Love helps him to know that he is enough to fulfill others. A young boy who's fortunate enough to see his father succeed in fulfilling his mother enters relationships as an adult with a rare confidence that he can succeed in fulfilling his partner. He's not terrified of commitment because he knows he can deliver. He also knows that when he doesn't deliver, he's still adequate and still deserves love and appreciation for doing his best. He doesn't condemn himself because he knows he's not perfect and that he's always doing his best and his best is good enough. He's able to apologize for his mistakes because he expects forgiveness, love, and appreciation for doing his best. He knows that everyone makes mistakes. He saw his father make mistakes and continue to love himself. He witnessed his mother loving and forgiving his father through all his mistakes. He felt her trust and encouragement, even though at times his father had disappointed her. Many men didn't have successful role models while they were growing up. For them, staying in love, getting married, and having a family is as difficult as flying a jumbo jet without any training. He may be able to take off, but he is sure to crash. It's difficult to continue flying once you've crashed a plane a few times, or if you've witnessed your father crash. Without a good training manual for relationships, it's easy to understand